Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Reality NSFW. I'm Zach Hacker, joined once again by my good friend, Peter Brown. Peter, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well. Big Brother Canada has got me excited again. I really didn't enjoy the lack of feeds and lack of news for that we debated over the weekend and everything. But we're back in. Beth's out. That was sort of the inevitable fate. And now I feel like everyone's got a fair shot in the end game here. And I'm really looking forward to next week's finale, seeing how this all shakes out.
I genuinely can't remember. And maybe we can try to fill in the blank. But I can't remember the last Big Brother season, Canada or the United States, in which literally everybody in the final four had a legitimate shot at winning. Now, it's not to say that these are the four greatest Big Brother players ever. I don't think that anyone's going to make that argument anytime soon. But the objective of the game is, of course, to win. And we've got four people left, and there's not one of them in there that's like, oh, well, you know, this person's going to get drugged to the end. This person has no chance. Like, they completely float. Like, everyone in there has a case to win. And yeah. I really can't remember the last time, even in the final three, like usually there's like two that's like, okay, two of these people are great. And the other one, maybe less so.
Yeah. But you're lucky to get that. Sometimes it's like, if this one person doesn't win, the whole season's trash.
Exactly. Exactly. And like, look, I don't know if every outcome is a desirable one. I don't even know if any outcome is a desirable one. But the fact that, hey, they're basically neck and neck going into this final leg of the game, that's pretty remarkable. It's been a chaotic mess to get to this point. But hey, look, if that's what kind of, Big Brother Canada and hopefully Big Brother USA we can expect over the next decade of this show, then sign me up for it, because I'd much rather have a neck and neck race of four kind of imperfect players going into the final where it's like, oh man, like I really don't know, than being like, as you said, well, if this one or two persons don't win, then you can kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. But it's been a wild season.
Yeah, I mean, coming off of, I'm wearing my Big Brother All-Stars t-shirt. Coming off of Big Brother All-Stars 2, my thought on Big Brother was as low as it's ever been. I thought, oh man, this game's broken. This is how many seasons in a row where like one person has just gamed the whole thing and just steamrolled to the end. They need to do something to shake it up. It turns out it's all done in casting, and I think they did a fantastic job this season. It's more fun to tune in and watch people learn what to do and figure out these moves and make mistakes and have flaws than it is to watch a perfect game. We've seen the perfect game.
Yeah.
It's not that fun. This is much more fun. And the finale is 1 week away. I'm obviously rooting for Kiefer. I've been rooting for Kiefer for a long time. But all of a sudden, in the last couple of weeks, Tara's got a case. Bray's got a case. Slightly inferior, but still good cases. We'll talk about win equity at the end. But let's go through the episode. We open with I love the producers of Big Brother Canada. Sometimes they infuriate me. Most of the time, I love them. The Beth shouting montage in the opening was so good because that is so them listening to fans of the internet saying, why is she yelling all the time? And just giving us that full clip. So funny.
Look, as a fellow Big Brother yeller, although I contained my yelling almost exclusively to the diary room, I wasn't really that loud in the house. But as a fellow Big Brother yeller, look, I would rather be remembered for being an loud, obnoxious personality that you are definitely never going to forget than a wallflower who you think that you will remember and then forget immediately once the next season starts in like whatever 2 months for Big Brother USA. So, you know, when the season is going on, it feels like everybody is so memorable and everybody is makes such a huge impression and everyone makes their definitive stance in the library of Big Brother house guests. And then once a year, two or three move on, you realize that you really only start to remember 2, 3, maybe 4 people from the season. And Beth, I think, whether you love her or, as most of the internet seems to, hate her, you will probably not forget Beth for a very long time. And that's part of what, being a good Big Brother house guest is all about, making those memorable moments, even if you find those memorable moments annoying.
No, 100%. I mean, Beth eviction party was trending on Twitter. So that does not happen for hardly any house guests. So you definitely made your mark, Beth.
Right.
I hope that you can get past a lot of what you're going to see on that thread. But so speaking of this move to eliminate Beth this week, we were really high last week. We didn't think anyone was coming for Beth because we'd just seen Beth and Tara on the block together and Tara was evicted. Mm. Here we are 1 week later, Beth and Tara on the block again. This time they changed their mind and Beth is evicted. was there any sense for Braden here? Is there any redeeming quality for Braden here?
Probably not. We're confused. I'm still confused at the fact that they elected to evict Tara in the first place. Because it looked like the four of them, which are now the final four anyway, had kind of consolidated this last ditch effort alliance to move forward. And then they suddenly decided, oh, okay, no, we're actually going to get rid of Beth. And it looked like it was because Tara's kind of bad social game had caught up with her, I suppose.
Right.
Then in the course of a week, they got to redo that decision and inverted the decision entirely. And so it came, basically what it seemed like to me is that everyone elected to make the decision that it was better to leave potential threats in the game than deal with Beth and her yelling for another week. That's sort of what it looks like. Like, their annoyance with her got to such a high level that it obfuscated what would be a rational game decision. Because I think even Beth points out, Kiefer should have been on the block. And she's right. Kiefer should have been on the block. I believe it was Ty pointed out that if everyone's looking to take Beth, which I don't know if that's true or isn't, but this is the best argument that you can make against Beth as to why you're voting her out, is you're getting rid of the option, which is sort of the reason why you could rationalize why everyone got rid of Tina too. You know, if Tina's an option to get drugged to the end, you get rid of that person, which is actually like, the quote evolution of Big Brother, as we've been talking about, like, I prefer that as a game move. However, I still think that Kiefer probably should have been the target, Braden's target this week.
Yeah, I mean, no, that is the much more advanced move that we've seen emerge in the last few years, which is figure out who everyone's goal to take to the end is and eliminate them. However, I don't believe Ty at all when he's saying that's motivation for this. I don't think that everyone's goal was to take Beth to the end. And if that was their read on the situation, that's a bad read because, I mean, you've got Jed in the jury house, who obviously is saying endlessly that he still loves Beth.
Of course.
And you've got a lot of people who last week we saw in the jury segment, after they talked about their love for Kiefer, they're talking about their love for Beth and her game. So if they're thinking Beth was a goat, that's like even more of a damning factor for their game. But the biggest damning factor for this, I think, is while Braden is compiling these wins, that really helps with his resume. And I particularly liked Braden tonight, what he did with his goodbye message, taking credit for his role in certain moves with Beth so that she can go bring that information to the jury house and that she can hear that herself as well. I love that, but I don't love the idea that now Braden is visibly the one who has all of the power this week, the HOH and the veto, and does not make the move that every single person in that jury house is saying, you've got to take out Kiefer.
Yeah.
That's a very bad look if he's going to get to the end and try to claim any agency.
Yeah. He had the perfect opportunity to do the quote big move. And now he's going, and now obviously he can't play in the HOH this week, but he can play in veto. But he narrows his opportunity to replicate that obvious big move potential. Like it really has to get to the point where, you know, it's at the very, very end. And then, you know, will the jury even consider him? You know, it's how do they value competitions? Is it that they look at the whole game or just the last few weeks? Like, I really don't like the sleep for 8 weeks and then play for two sort of thing. And like some people, like I believe Kayla accused Paris of doing that in season six, which I don't agree with that evaluation of Paris's game actually, but from Kayla's perspective, I can understand why it would look like that. And I feel like the jury would potentially have a similar sentiment towards Braden, because they're going to be left with kind of what Braden was when they exited the game. And then the rest of it is just kind of all hearsay and, like results. You know, it's a lot more impactful to watch somebody win a series of competitions than it is to like read about it. You know, if you're watching a UFC fight and, you know, you see some guy, get knocked out, it's way more impactful if you watch that knockout than to read about, oh, so-and-so got knocked out in the third round after 25 seconds, you know, whatever. Yeah. So I feel like that might be working against Braden, especially if once Beth shows up, if the reaction is why. That's going to only reflect poorly on Braden because he was the HOH.
Yeah, 100%. And I like, you know, saying that they're going to be impressed with moves that jury members can come in and say, it's negating the human factor here, which is the jury members care about how these people made them feel. And they care about what the image of the season is going to be going forward. And if they think this person has played a lazy game, that they have not built a personal relationship with them that they value at all, they're going to have a much harder time voting for him. That kind of stuff is going to, I think, have a big impact on Braden's game, because he was really, really in the background on his own when a lot of these people left the house. So if he's going to win those people over, if he's going to win over the Rohans and the Tinas who didn't get to see his active gameplay, he needs at least a flashy move to stand up against Ty. I still think him versus Tara is a really interesting debate, but I think if he's going to try to stand there with Ty or Kiefer, he needs a big move of taking someone else out, and he had it on a platter. I guess his best bet now would be that Ty or Tara win HOH and then Braden wins veto and he can send Kiefer home.
Right. Although
it will, a whole lot of like wishful thinking.
Exactly. And I think that move would be probably still credited to the HOH, sure. Even though that the final four veto kind of gets an unusual amount of praise, I guess, but like, I don't know. It depends on how they evaluate it. I thought, it's funny you said Braden versus Tara, because I thought it was an interesting kind of throwaway line, and maybe that's all it was a throwaway line, but normally the show, the producers of the show will put in information that is relevant to the viewer in a concise way possible. And there was a line in which they were all fishing about, I believe, Tara being a floater. And so if the jury's perception of Tara is floater, which is also accurate, Tara is not a floater, that she's a coaster, more accurately. But people interchange those descriptive words. But anyway, if the jury has a poor opinion of Tara's game, and she got voted out, even though she got earned her way back in, if Tara's in the end against Braden, it might be a kind of lesser of two evils sort of thing. I don't know. I'm very curious to see what this jury, normally the jury deliberation segment is, I can fast forward it sort of thing. Like, I don't care. But this one in particular, I think whenever they get to it next week, should actually be very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know where a lot of these people come down on who they value, because all these people are flip floppers. Also, you can't really trust what they're saying in the DR. So I can't even imagine with the scripted seeming jury segments where they're clearly planning these shots out in advance of what do I want to say where and how's this going to look. And I don't know. It's interesting. Right. What's like making the edit because it's a funny joke versus what is their genuine opinion?
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's get into some of Beth's campaign, if you want to call it that, that we saw on the episode tonight, which mostly consisted of a series of fights with people. Yeah.
Interesting strategy.
Yeah. Beth was all about new strategies this season.
Yeah.
Here's another one. So she starts off the episode. Everyone but her and Kiefer are in the pantry celebrating. Not a good move or not a good feeling when the person you're sitting on the block against is celebrating with the HOH. That's not good at all.
Yeah, it's a game of optics Peg. Like, one of the weirdest things that if you're a future Big Brother player, one of the things that you will have to do that you don't really think about, especially in the early stages of the game when there's a zillion people in the house, or that's what it feels like, is figure out who's where, how long, and with who. So, like, okay, These three people were in the hot tub area for like an hour. And then two of them powdered off here and one of them went upstairs and the other two went and talked to this person for yada, yada, yada. Like just keeping up with all of that is exhausting. And it starts to become very, very obvious when there's such few bodies left. So when you're sitting there kind of down in the dumps and you clearly know that three of the five people in the house are in another room, you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's not good strategy though for those three people either. Again, because those three people should be aware, obviously, that this is what you do as a Big Brother house guest. You pay attention to where people are for how long in certain rooms. And so if they realize that they're going off and they're leaving the person who probably should have been put up and the person who is very likely going home, and it's a very arrogant, it's a very careless move because, look, you never know what a twist is going to be. We really haven't had they should always be skeptical and wary of what might happen. Like, you don't know if someone can find a power. You don't know if someone can come back. Like, you know, even though someone just did come back, like, you always have to kind of hedge your bet a little bit with how you're being viewed optically, because that could put a really negative, like, and Kiefer too. Kiefer's the other person on that couch. That could put a bad taste in his mouth because he's not in there celebrating with those people. And maybe he's electing to stay off of it and to stay out of that room. But like, that's the weirdness about Big Brother, is that you're always kind of wondering, like, well, should I have been in the room? Should I have been with the other person? Like, why wasn't I in that room? Like, there's all those questions that go through your head. In just what seems like a very simple decision or celebratory moment, comes with it a huge layer, several layers rather, of decision making that the show doesn't really indicate and the fandom doesn't really seem to pay attention to. But when you're in there, it's very important.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, on the one hand, you brought up the point about like just keeping track of where everyone is and who is spending time where. It's interesting. I watched the UK Circle series 3 and listened to one of the guys on there, Vithin, talking about he'd reduced like the game to an algorithm where if he could figure out who was having what conversations when, he could just simply calculate who had how many conversations with whom, and that's obviously who they're working with. And he could just, you know, he didn't even have to rely on his own emotions because he said he didn't trust his own emotions getting wrapped up in that echo chamber of an apartment. And so he just reduced it to an algorithm, and it didn't go too well for him, but I still,
did he win? Like, I was so excited.
He didn't know what to do with the information, but the way he was processing the information, to hear him talk about it, like that, if you could just carry around a whiteboard in the Big Brother house and just keep track of how much time everyone spent somewhere, that'd be amazing. I think that'd be really helpful. The other thing, when did this happen? When did the pantry become just the celebration room?
I don't know. I feel like it has been in Big Brother US. I feel like it is more so in Big Brother USA. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's always, they go in there and they do, 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 do. And they're all like, I feel like that always happens for that. For Canada, I don't know. It just feels like a natural place. Like, after anything happens, everybody's always hungry. Like, any like competition or ceremony. Like, you do a lot of just kind of like relaxed eating in the Big Brother house. So like, I can understand that you're just naturally going to be like, okay, like I'm super stressed out. I need something to kind of alleviate that or give me some busy work. I'm going to go to the pantry. And so I get that. And then it just kind of, it becomes a logical meeting place. It only has one entrance and one exit. Theoretically, it's like contained, and you can kind of figure out if someone's coming or not. I don't know.
You just know exactly what they're doing in there. It's very fun though. My wife and I will do a thing whenever we have something to celebrate. We'll both just look at each other and immediately go to the kitchen and just excessively celebrate. So
yeah,
I love it. It's very fun. But one of the things Beth is going to yell at Ty about this later when they're fighting in the kitchen and rehashing the Jed vote is, well, I don't even need to get into it. She's basically misrepresenting the entire thing and sounding pretty clueless. And this is going to be the theme of the episode, that she is going to be misrepresenting what happened to Ty. And Ty is going to very indignantly try to keep his cool. And he ultimately gives like the what, enjoy Jerry Beth quote of the night, which was that was a pretty good moment. But Ty, Jerry management, buddy. So I would like to talk about Ty's Jerry management, because this is like 2 weeks in a row where I think it's really come into question. How is he going to be perceived, do you think? Because I could see it going one way or the other, where he could get a lot of respect or he could be seen as like a joke at the end.
I think he'll be probably viewed as the surviving member of the trio, and that's about it. And his problem is going to be that the two people who should ideally be fighting for him and convincing the other jurors to vote for him are probably not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because both Jed and Beth are going to take ownership and all of the props from whatever moves that the trio made collectively. And the remnants of that is just going to be, well, Ty got through because he was nice and like unassuming. Look, it's incredibly difficult to get to the last week of Big Brother without having been nominated. This is a huge, not to use a Paulism, but this is a huge accomplishment in Big Brother to get to that point in the game without sitting on that block. Extraordinarily difficult to do. Pretty sure that every Big Brother winner in their season has done this somehow. I don't know how. I think Ty might possibly, if he is in a final two position without ever having been eligible to be nominated. Well, I think John, so Jillian was eligible to be nominated on the last day. John was not. And then Sarah was. Pax Bros. I don't know if they were or not, actually. I don't think Kevin was ever eligible to be evicted. I'm pretty sure Dane wasn't. Like, it's a weird thing with Big Brother winners where, like, you know, they're real good at avoiding the block.
Yeah.
Like, I have to go back to the wiki to be absolutely sure. But anyway, my point was,
I'm impressed you got all that.
if Ty gets to the end, he might break that streak. I think he might get to the end. And even if he doesn't get nominated and he's not eligible to be evicted on the last day of the season, he might not win because I don't, even with his, it's kind of similar to Braden, actually, even with his late stage heroics, competition wins. I think it is kind of the same thing. It's like, what would the jury's perception of him be when they would have left the game? And it's only going to be, well, he's the third member of a group. And, you know, he was the most unassuming of that group. Everyone likes him, but it's like, what really did he do? And then if it's like when he starts actively doing stuff, like things that are very obvious, and it's all just like stabbing your allies in the back and being very cold about it, like, yeah, it makes great TV, but it is probably, and look, he even said it in the diary room. He's like, I don't care about jury management. I just want to get her out of here. Oh. And that is not like, I mean, he might have just lost himself the game by, like, Beth defeats Ty because Beth is so annoying that Ty just kind of self-sabotaged over these last 2 weeks. So it is very possible that we see him lose if he's in a position to receive votes in a week.
Yeah, I think so. The biggest thing he could have going for him is the thruple ran the show. Like, they were the biggest power almost all season until the last couple weeks when things started to fall apart for him. Like, it should be all about who maintained power the longest. He should be able to make that point of, like, look, we ran this game for from weeks one to, you know, week eight in the, like,
basically, yeah,
show. Like, that's a fair point, but that's going to be nullified by the fact that I think Beth and Jed, as you said, are not going to be fighting for him. No. They're not going to be saying, oh yeah, Ty was a strong member of our alliance.
No, they're going to bury him.
He left both of them with a really bad taste in their mouth about him on the way they went out. He was so cold to them. He lied to them in their goodbye messages. That's like the opposite of what he needs to do, because he's counting on them to really rep him in the jury house. And I don't think they're going to do that. So as you say, I think that he's not only going to be contending with the fact that he's a terrible public speaker and the fact that Beth and Jed are annoyed at him, but also the fact that, you know, the only thing he has going for him is that he's likable here, because they're going to take away all the thruple credit that he might get.
Yeah. So. And especially the fake double too. Like, I mean, it's like both Ty's HOH win and Braden's veto, it's like the jury might just dismiss that and be like, okay, well, like the kind of, you know, because Jed said, oh, I got evicted in a twist, which is not true. Like he got evicted normally, and then a twist gave him the opportunity to save himself, and he failed at that. So, but if they kind of disregard the fake double stuff because the outcome was just, well, Jed left as he was going to, and then Tara got herself back in the game. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they'll be as rewarding to those, you know, the laundry list of comp wins. And it's like, I've never been one, you know, I obviously come from the oldest school of thought with Big Brother, and it's that the best players are the ones who can get through the game without winning competitions and just relying on their wits and their wisdom yes. to get through. And it's extraordinarily difficult to do. It's the reason why it's virtually never done. But like in an ideal scenario, the best player of the season doesn't have to win the ball rolling competition. They don't have to win the balance competition. They don't have to win the memory competition. They don't have to win any competition because they're so perfectly aligned and so, socially positioned in the game that they're never a target and they always have the best information and they're always nudging things in their direction. And so for me as a juror, if someone is up there just saying, well, here's all the competitions that I want to get to the end of the game, to me, that's cool. I don't care. Like that's not important. An important metric to me. Like obviously there's a zillion different ways to get to the end of Big Brother, and they're all equally difficult, but you have to think of who's on that jury and how are you going to convince them to give you their vote? And if people just start listing their rap sheet of like, well, I won this HOH and the two vetoes and five have nots and two turtle doves. And the jury's going, okay, but what did you do with them? And how are you able to manipulate stuff beyond that? If they don't care about the broad strokes, which the television show is emphatic on, like the TV's like, wow, this person won veto and oh my God. But the jury's like, okay, but what did they actually do with it? And then like, and how much did they know? And when did they know it? And how did they use it to their advantage? These are the types of decisions that usually goes through a juror's mind. And so, that's why that's why I hate the quote resume talk in Big Brother. It's so silly when people are talking about making resume moves or building their resume, because when you just get up there at the end and you're like, okay, you're not applying. It's not a job interview by saying like, here are my credentials to win the game.
I would like to be the winner of Big Brother Canada 90s. Right. Is this enough?
Yeah. Like you can't hit, there's no threshold of like, well, I've done all of this, therefore I deserve it.
Yes.
You can do you could win all of the competitions and still lose the game if the other person always had more information, always had better information, was always able to leverage their information to position them in a better way. At least in terms of how I view the game, not everyone views the game different. That's therein lies the rub, because some people would be like, hey, I did all this stuff. And you'd be like, man, they did. Like, they beat me every competition. I tried to get it. Hats off to them. This is the measurement in which is important to me. Okay, you've got my vote. Perfect. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to think. But every juror is going to have a different, every juror is going to have a different list. And it's going to be in a different order of what's important to them in the game. That's why I think it's so silly to do these, like, Q&A things. I think the Big Brother Q&A at the end is very antiquated, and it should be a Survivor style, which I know I've said before, but I'll keep saying it until they change it. And it should be like a 30-minute round table.
Yeah. I mean, the round table format is so much better. And I think I'll say the one thing that does remain consistent, I think, no matter who the juror is and what they value, it's that they like a story. Who can get up there and tell a story that is understandable, is impactful, and you want to represent your season.
Yep.
And I think that roundtable format allows that story to come out so much more so than these pre-written Q&A questions that you can't even adjust on the spot given new information. It's painful.
Yeah. You there's this weird kind of thing that happened. Like a fan will say, you should always vote for the best player. Mm-hmm. And that's such a silly, overly broad thing to say, because the best player is, we literally just went through and be like, okay, some people value comp wins. Some people value social strategy. Some people value just being nice. Okay. An individual's evaluation of what the quote best player is entirely subjective. It will always be subjective, especially it's a lot easier to watch the show and be like, okay, you know, we can see that this person's really pulling the strings and they're winning when they need to, and they get themselves out of trouble. And yeah, they probably deserve it. In my opinion, there's no such thing as deserves in Big Brother. There's only earn. Your objective is to earn votes at the end. And so you have to think, when you're that juror, like, okay, I got to vote for the person that's going to represent my season forever in the history of the show, on the Wikipedia, whatever, like one name is going to sit atop. Am I comfortable with this name being at the top of my season? I was on blank's season. Cause that's kind of how it's either you talk about the winner or the person who was featured the most, one of the two things. So in my season, for example, the person that was featured the most was Emmett. The person that won was Jillian. I'm talking in terms of diary room counts.
Yeah, sure.
So the person who is for this season, it's going to be Kiefer, I expect, based on the last I checked, because it was Victoria by a considerable margin, but then Kiefer kind of pulling up the rear. But just vis-a-vis the fact that he's survived longer than her, it's going to be, quote, Kiefer season in terms of, like, diary room exposure. But then whose season is it in, like, you know, who gets that winner circle name? And that's part, I'm sorry, but that's part of what goes into the decision-making at the end of Big Brother is, you know, I have to vote somebody that goes on and carries the flag for Big Brother Canada season 9, as like, they beat all of us. Who do I want that to be?
Yeah. And the more you talk, the more I'm just like, it has to be Kiefer.
Yeah, I know, right?
So perfect. Yeah, I know. I love it. I think he is head and shoulders above everyone else with his gameplay so far. I've been impressed with even some really unconventional things he's done. I think I may be the only person who was impressed last night when we saw him pitching to Braden why the best move for Braden would be to get rid of Kiefer. because I think it was proactive, and I think he took the sting out of it when other people were going to pitch that to him, because Kiefer was going to sit there and joke about it and say, I know you wouldn't do that to me, Braden, because he already got Braden visualizing, I'm not going to do that.
Yep.
By the time Beth was making that pitch, it was already neutralized. So I love it. I think Kiefer's pretty slick. I think he's like one of the greatest players ever? Absolutely not. Far from it. A million mistakes, but you know what? He's been playing hard and he is entertaining.
Yep.
And we found out tonight he's got some pipes. I liked his singing song with the raccoons. That was fun.
I loved that segment. I feel like we should always have way more of that kind of stuff. That's very classic Big Brother.
I agree.
Giving them something totally bizarre to do that fit in with the sponsor. Perfect sponsorship integration. But it was also just a fun, silly thing that takes away from the game, but also kind of works into the game, as Tara pointed out. Like, okay, now you've got Beth and Kiefer out there alone for a long time. That's a dangerous kind of situation. Let's play into this. It looked like the three of them sort of gave up on their distraction quest after a little while. I thought it was strange too that, like, I thought the idea was either Beth and Kiefer will get the reward, or the other three will get the reward. And then it was everybody got the award. I was like, what? Like, that's so Big Brother Canada. And what do? They got to eat, which is like every Big Brother Canada prize ever.
Hey, but we found out Canadians are nice. They're not going to let two people have a barbecue while three people watch. They say, you know what? We just saw everybody come on in. I love it. No, I love this kind of shit. I know some people on Twitter are like, more gameplay. We don't like the filler segments. I love this. What was it, like 2 minutes of fun and getting to see these people, and fun to find out that like Tara, Braden, and Ty are completely incapable of distracting anyone from anything. Like this was terrible. Like, you need to actually like do some distracting. They were just popping their, I mean, it was cute. They're popping their heads up like the raccoons and like exercising, but that's not very distracting. I guess Ty's good looking. It might be a little distracting, but he wasn't like in his briefs or something. He was just fully clothed. Come on.
Yeah, not the best effort, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think it is filler. Like, I would disagree that it is a quote filler segment. Like, I think those types of fun house guest bonding segments, whether it's in week one or week nine, are part of what you remember in Big Brother. Like, that's like, you know, it's the overemphasis on competitions and strategy and drama on the television show sort of doesn't give a good, it actually does, it gives a terrible indicator of the real, like, fun moments that you remember when you're in there, of just like the silly goofiness of just existing in this weird magic box. And that's why I love segments like this, because it reminds you that as intense the game is and always will be, there is so much levity and bonding and just like genuine human interaction there. And in what other circumstance would you and a stranger sit in a fake backyard and count little like Muppet raccoons popping out of a fake fence to earn a barf? Like, that doesn't happen in your that doesn't happen in anyone's life. So it's fun. And Big Brother should be a fun show. It shouldn't always just be like, super serious strategy and like dramatic outbursts and here's someone rolling a ball.
No, this is what gives Big Brother its heart. I mean, this is what first drew me to the show, is just how goofy this show is willing to be, because it's sort like, I was first a Survivor viewer and then I saw Big Brother and I was like, oh, this is sort of similar to Survivor strategy, but goofy and fun, and I'm here for that 100%. This is the kind of stuff that I'm watching going, oh man, maybe I would love to play Big Brother one day. This looks serious. Like, I wish my friends would do this at a party in the backyard. Let's do a raccoon party. This is fun.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. But right after that, we get the jury segment. And before we start talking about the jury segment and Beth's eviction, here's a quick word from some of our sponsors.
By the time you feel thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. You can't focus and you feel tired.
Drinking enough water is critical for a healthy lifestyle that you're trying to maintain. It increases your brain power, boosts your productivity. It can prevent headaches and it'll increase your focus. Not only that, it improves your skin and mood, and it can help with your digestion and give you energy. Wow, it also prevents bad breath and can help you lose weight. But how much water should you drink each day? 10 cups? A gallon? The good news is that it doesn't have to be so complicated. That's why I start my day with Hydrant, because Hydrant helps you hydrate faster.
Hydrant has created a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently and effectively hydrate your body. It hydrates you quickly and keeps you going for longer. Each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes that your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc, and it packs a punch to help your body hydrate fast and stay hydrated. If you're looking for that extra boost of energy, there's also Hydrant Plus Caffeine, which contains 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea. Hydrant is backed by research. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist. It also is loved by pro athletes, top performers, celebrities, and has thousands of five-star reviews.
It's made with real fruit juice powder. It's delicious and refreshing, and it comes in a variety of flavors, including iced tea, lemonade, and fruit punch. My favorite personally is the grapefruit. It's a classic and I go back to it. It's delicious. Plus, this stuff is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund. You really need to try it for yourself to see what I'm talking about. It tastes incredible and it works.
Well, Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply, and you save even more with a monthly subscription. And it's so easy to get. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save 25% off your first order. We're not kidding here, folks. 25%. Go to drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR for 25% off your first order. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor, enter promo code SURVIVOR to save 25%, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you'll love, but without all the bad stuff.
We're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving.
And there's only 140 calories a serving. This stuff's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, Birthday Cake. Birthday Cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so get it now while you can. You can also do the Build Your Own box with available flavors to build your own custom bundle with cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon. If you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. Great news all around.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday. Go, Zach. It's your birthday. But also go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. Be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their products, it's backed by a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5. Thanks, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday.
And we are back. And Jed is arriving at the jury house in this jury segment. And their reactions are absolutely priceless. It was very fun getting to relive my shock at what happened last week through their faces. This was such a good entrance from Jed. And as they watch back this episode, my favorite moment was Victoria saying, this is so hard to watch, to Jed while grinning and shoveling popcorn into her mouth.
Oh, no, the humanity of it all. I cannot look away. Popcorn.
Yeah, oh, it was good. But the biggest takeaway for the game to me, I think, was Ro saying, yeah, everyone has a resume. And as we were saying, this game feels pretty opened up. At this point, and I'm glad to hear that the jury is recognizing that.
I think this is a very rare example of them actually watching footage from the show. Like, we didn't get any footage when I was in jury, like, that I can recall, like, none. And I am pretty sure that the general rule for Big Brother Canada jury is no footage. Like, I know in the USA, they always get the little DVD, I'm sure it's just on a USB stick now, but I mean, they, they get a little plug and play, 5-minute recap. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I don't know. I actually don't know that I've ever asked anyone, that's a Big Brother USA friend, like, hey, how much footage do you actually watch a jury? Like, cause it's all obviously all clipped up on the show, but I actually don't know how much actual footage they get to watch.
From what I've heard, it's very minimal, like comps and ceremonies, and it's like really truncated of that even.
That makes sense. And I'm sure that's exactly what these guys saw. And I bet it blew their minds to watch. It's different when you're in there and sometimes they'll do it like here's some silly moments from the first few weeks of the show. And you kind of get to see yourself in the house, and like, it's cool for sure, but you're still in the house. And it's, everything still feels very, very real. And then you get in the jury and it's like, okay, you're kind of in the real world, but you're still isolated, not, your head's definitely still in the game. To see something from the game, oh man, like, I bet they were just, and especially Jed having to like relive all this stuff in quite quick succession, like, speaking as someone who has beat themselves up over the moves that they did or did not make in Big Brother over the last, 3,000 odd days or whatever that I've been out, it happens a lot. For Jed to have made these blunderful decisions and then be forced to relive them, at least to a small degree, with your contemporaries who up until 10 minutes ago you had beaten in the game, probably was not a great moment.
No. And if Jed is anything, he is consistent. He continues to maintain that this was not the bad move, that the Kiefer thing was a bad move. He's not really saying he screwed up.
Yeah. And he's still saying, I love Beth a bunch of times, much to his mother's chagrin. So that is going to be a very fun. I hope that they live stream. Jed meets his mom after the show for the first time and they get to talk through how he played the game. That is going to be gold. But we're coming back from the Jerry segment. We get one last Skip the Dishes. I'm assuming we're not going to get Skip the Dishes again. So Kiefer wins. This has been important to Kiefer all game, so I'm glad he I can't remember if he's won before, but I'm glad he gets his Skip the Dishes win here at the end, because I know he really cares about how people are liking him in Canada. Yeah. Which good for it, Kiefer. You're a cool dude. I'm rooting for you. Sure. And then we get to hear a little bit about the house guests starting to plan for these late game comps. And we learn the information that Beth has memorized genders. I think she's just trying to say she has a lot of details down, and Tara does not. Kiefer's very pleased with this information. I think this is a very good reason to keep Tara around if there was not already enough motivation to keep Tara around.
Yeah. So if you're Kiefer, you're either going to assume one or two things. A, Tara's lying, which is possible. Or B, it's possible that Beth might quote like teach her or like give her a recap or refresh of all these things. I don't know why you would do that if you were Beth, although Beth did go on to say that she, for whatever reason, wants Tara to win, which I think is very interesting. Yeah. But to like kind of hand off the knowledge baton as you're leaving to some like, oh boy, gee, I don't know. Like it is so, of all of the things that you have to keep in the back of your head while playing Big Brother, all of these dates and times and sequences and who was in what competition and the, you know, all, just everything that you got to keep track of. And knowing how important that is at the end of, we've seen people lose Big Brother by not knowing their days, like, you know, to simplify it to a one soundbite. And for Tara to be at this stage and by her own admission, if we believe what she's saying, to not know this stuff, if I'm Beth or if I'm any other juror that learns this information, that to me is disrespectful to the game and would make me not want to vote for Tara at all. Because it's like, okay, I already think that you coasted through the majority of the game in a series of failed alliances and were just kind of the remainder. And then you did one thing, which admittedly was huge, arguably one of the biggest moves of the season. But, you know, you were, not to completely take away from that move or whatever, but like it happened to be, you know, the right person at the right time.
And you're going to have Kiefer taking credit for that move at the same time. Like if Kiefer's at the jury, Kiefer's going to be saying that wasn't Tara's move. Like I pulled that off. So
you're exactly correct. So her one kind of claim to fame is going to end up being just, I beat Jed in a ball rolling competition to get back into the game. And so if I'm on that jury, if I'm Rohan, just to swap it out, the direct parallel, and Tara's trying to convince me that she should be the winner and receive the money and be the champion of the season until the end of time. And her one move is like, well, I beat someone in a comp and I got taken here because I didn't know my days well enough to win the competition at the end. Like, okay, cool. Sorry, but no, you're not I'm not going to vote for that person ever.
Yeah, no, they can like re-goat Tara. If she was the goat and then became not the goat anymore, they could put that right back on her. Just keep telling everyone she did not study. She doesn't know this game.
Yeah, you know.
So we'll see. I think maybe jumping ahead a little bit, but I think Ty has this shit down. I think Ty might be the HOH walking out of tonight's competition. I wish we would have seen more of it. There's only one question, but I'm expecting that when we start hearing who's HOH, that's going to be Ty.
And, are the votes going to be down again? I saw Big Brother put out some tweet like, I can't. Let me see if I can pull it up here really quick. But they put out a tweet about the feeds, and I remember thinking like, oh my goodness. Oh yeah, okay. BBKN feeders. The live feeds will resume at 1 a.m. Eastern. Shortly after we wrap the filming of the Big Brother Canada Awards. Tune in Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern to see if your favorites win.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So in like 3 hours, we'll find out.
Yeah, yeah. So clock's ticking.
That's how long it takes to do a buzzer competition. Of course, we all know that.
I was wondering why they were in the OLG room. Then I was like, oh, they're either setting up a big competition in the backyard or it's the award thing. And then it's obviously the award thing. That's crazy that that's a loaded day, dude. Look, like you get rid of a very vibrant personality in Beth.
Yeah, that was a tumultuous eviction.
Right? So,
yeah.
You immediately go into a huge competition with gigantic stakes. Winner gets a pass into the final three. And then you go in to do this like season recap party segment. The awards all in one day. And then you got to wake up tomorrow and do nominations. Oh, man, that's a lot for like the next, you know, those like 50 hours of the Big Brother time are going to feel like about 500 hours by the time they get through it all, I think.
Oh, yeah. All that while you're playing a social game and you've got a 25% chance at $1 million. So yeah. that is stressful.
120,000. Yeah. Hey, if it was $1 million, look, that's a whole, a million Canadian dollars. That's like, I don't know, like $20-$30 American, something like that. Like
at least.
Like, Mike, I don't know if my conversion is exactly right, but it's in that the range anyway.
Yeah, no, I've been talking too much challenge lately. I've got my prize money off. But yeah, so you know, we see a couple more fights go down, but ultimately we roll up to this eviction. You know what? I want to touch on the Ty and Bray relationship because Beth obviously said some controversial things that were brought up from the feeds. And we got to see a little bit of that play out on the live show tonight, talking about Ty and Brayden's relationship. Are you of the opinion that these two are each other's number one and that this has been a mutually beneficial relationship?
No, neither of them have ever been the other's number one. So Brayden's number one was Austin until Austin.
Okay. I mean, at this point, when this relationship emerged.
Well, they've always been sort of friendly. It's not like a new revelation. They've always been like connected, to the best of my understanding. Mm-hmm. But it was Brayden, Austin, and Julie would have been his trio, and then you've got Ty, obviously, with the actual trio of the season.
Yes.
So no, neither of them have ever really been the other's number one. But as Jed and Beth began to sort of separate, and their showmance became the more overbearing or more dominant force in that trio, Ty wisely started to look elsewhere. And then as Brayden's allies just got picked off of the game one after one, and he really didn't have anybody else left, Ty, yes, then becomes Brayden's third number one, sort of.
Yeah.
And with Ty, Brayden sort of becomes his, I would probably say, the second for both of them, because I don't know if Julie was ever like that, really that close to Brayden in terms of being number one. It was like Brayden and Austin, and I would say Jed and Ty. And then both of those relationships gone for whatever reason. And then they kind of fall into each other sort of by default. I would agree with the evaluation that Ty has been using Brayden's attraction to him as leverage in the game for some time. In fact, I'm reasonably confident that Ty even alludes to this in one of the episodes.
Yeah, so I think this week he said in one of his DRs that he was benefiting from this relationship. So I 100% believe everything Beth said, but I guess more the point I was trying to get at was I still think that Brayden has gotten a lot out of this relationship, and I don't really know where Brayden would turn if it were not for Ty at this point in the game.
He'd have nowhere to turn, really. Yeah. I wouldn't think so. I mean, I mean, Tara, I suppose, just by like she's the only other available option. But I can't imagine that his relationship with Kiefer has been extraordinary throughout the duration of the game. So yeah, Brayden has been very isolated for most of the game, but which is generally not what you would want to see from like a successful Big Brother player. Like typically you want to see someone who's kind of got their finger in the pot everywhere, like Kiefer, yeah. I guess. But just to be getting the good bounce at the right time has kind of been like Braden was just kind of someone else's second, that he was the sidekick, and then he was forgotten, and then he was somebody else's sidekick, and then he won some competitions. Like, it sounds like a very disparaging way to evaluate his game, but I mean, that is kind of his game, isn't it?
Yeah. No, 100%. I guess it's just interesting to me. Like, did Ty use Braden in this game?
Yes. Everybody uses everybody.
But is the best thing that could have happened to Braden having Ty use him because it put him in such a better spot? Yeah. So I don't really I don't see an issue with any of this. And I think it was great gameplay on both of their parts, that if Braden saw that Ty was going to lead him on in this relationship, good, pursue it, because that's someone who trusts you completely.
Is the criticism on Ty that he's using Braden's attraction to him? Braden obviously is gay. Based on what I can see, Ty is straight for the most part anyway. Is the criticism that Ty is using Braden's attraction to him wrong? You shouldn't, if you're straight, you shouldn't lead a gay person on. Is that the criticism?
I think this is where Beth got herself into some hot waters. I think.
But why that? Why would that be Beth? Like, I don't understand why that would be. Is it just a people hate Beth thing? Because I mean, if that's a Ty issue, as far as I would say, like Beth calling that out, like why would that be a anti Beth thing if it is true?
Well, on the feeds, she had to be talking to in the DR, because I think she was playing on some stereotypes that gay men have predator tendencies or some fears. I think she was trying to play into that or insinuating that Ty had insinuated that also.
Oh, so that not on the show, was it?
No, they clipped that on the show. Yeah, we didn't get to see that. Yeah. So we just got pieces of it, but gotcha. Any feeder is kind of reading between the lines on what went down there, but we did get pieces of that conversation, which I'm glad that it is resolved the way it is. I don't think it went any further. I think, as with previous issues that house guests have had, Beth was talked to and it went away. But yeah, not a good tactic, but we see Beth throwing everything at the wall here at the end, including some unfortunate stuff, but she is going to be evicted here. And like I said, I'm glad that despite some really unsavory comments, she goes out on a good mission, pretty gracious in defeat. And everybody was happy. This was good, because after all the fighting and everything, I was like, oh man, I don't want this real bummer of an end to the week. But this was nice. She went out to applause, and that's how I think it should have been. She was a very unique player, to say the least, for this season. And I think a good light villain.
Yeah. Yeah. She wasn't, she was like, Twitter really doesn't like her. But you know, that's Twitter for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, she wasn't like an evil, malicious,
no.
Vile, dastardly villain. She was sort of a rootable villain, or at least like an anti-villain. Like, you sometimes you have anti-heroes, or kind of like the bad guy who does good things, and Beth is maybe kind of the good person who does bad things, or something. I don't know. I thought she was very entertaining. I was very happy that when she went out, it was hugs and congratulations, and let's keep the game, which is very, very hard to do. It's very easy to kind of overlap reality and the game show reality. Separating those things is very hard to do. Hopefully everyone's able to do that, at least at a certain point. It takes time. But at least Beth was able to leave with her head held high, as she should be. She's going to be the one of the most memorable characters from this season. And she's probably going to be considered one of the better players of the season as well.
Yeah, shout out to Susie in the chat with calling her Lady Macbeth. I'm teaching Macbeth right now, so that is near and dear to my heart, as I will be back with Act 4 of Macbeth in the morning in my brilliant class. So very good. The goodbye messages were also interesting. Again, we get Ty lying in his goodbye messages. This is not good Jerry management. I know he said he's done with it, but like he was not trying to keep her. Why would he say that he was trying to keep her? We saw him tell her to her face he was not trying to keep her.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Big Brother maybe going, Ty, like, don't you think that jury management is important if you want to win? And maybe he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. It is important. To me, it felt like they were all very jury. Like, if I was Beth and I get all these people, like, you know, just be like super happy and complimentary about me, and it's all like love and rainbows and kisses and stuff, I'm like, screw you guys. Like, this is the most obvious ploy for like a jury, like earning your vote based on the goodbye messages that I think I can work like in recent memory, because Big Brother Canada doesn't always show the goodbye messages. So it's weird. They sometimes they elect to, sometimes they don't. And it's not even like they're showing to them off camera. It's like you either get them or you don't, which is like, I don't like that standard. Either everybody should get them or nobody should get them. The selective, like, well, we have time for it this week, we might as well give it to them, is kind of weird. I don't know. I think it's a bad way to approach producing the game. But anyway, it felt like all four of them were very actively trying to earn Beth's vote. And to me, if I was her, I would think that's just so transparent and I wouldn't believe anything that any of them said.
No, I would hate that. And to your point of like the producers kind of nudging Ty of what his responses should be, like, I, you know, there, how many people have been joking about how bad Ty's DRs are this season as they're like holding up the cue card of what he needs to say. Yeah. You know, I would be shocked if they're like, no, Ty, this is what a goodbye message looks like.
Right.
And it's him a sample, and he just says the exact same thing from the sample from like three seasons ago.
Yeah.
Cause that's about what it sounded like. It was like a complete character break for him. I have no idea what he was talking about, but, Brayden was the only one who I thought kept it real and he claimed his moves. And I think that's what he needs to do.
Sure.
For people going out here, because he wasn't certainly claiming it in person. So that's a good move. But I really think that we could be, especially how much of this we're getting, I really think that we could be gearing up for a tie defeat in the end, and he will be devastated.
Yeah. Devastated and probably confused as to why.
I think so.
I don't know his familiarity with the show beyond like season 7 and 8. Look, you don't have to be the most, you know, you don't have to be the Ian Terrys of the world and know every episode of every season of Big Brother and just be an encyclopedia of what happens and how it's supposed to happen and the best moves and yada, yada, yada. You don't have to have an exhaustive knowledge of the show to be successful in the show. There have been a lot of people who didn't know the show and were successful in the game. But I feel like there is something that kind of the learning curve of Big Brother, that most extreme steepness at the very end, when you mentally and physically burn out, you're exhausted, and you let those emotions get the better of you when the finish line is in sight, because you feel like, well, there it is. Like, all I got to do is reach out and grab it. And if he doesn't understand the minutiae of what, as we've talked about in this podcast, as what goes into a decision making, and if he doesn't have that knowledge to pull from of like, well, this is kind of how it happened in other seasons, and these were the arguments that people would kind of make, and this is generally how a jury is kind of going to think, then, and like you said very accurately, he's not the best speaker. You know, his diary room, he's been a diary room dud the whole season, and he's not going to have production holding his hand to get through that at the end, and especially if he's in that position and if he senses that it might not be going his way and he pulls the stone cold routine that he did to Jed and Beth, done. That could be like, you know, and he'll like, he it will take him a really long time if that ends up being the case to understand, and he would blame the bitter jury. Like, I mean, like as so many people tend to do. And I don't know. So that will be compelling to watch for sure when things unfold a week from now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk win equity. We're down to four people. My power rankings for most likely to win would be, I think, Kiefer. I'm still going to put Ty in second. He was my winner pick at the beginning of the season.
Oh, nice.
And then I'll go Tara, and then I'll go Braden last. However, I think that my likelihood to get to the end is almost the exact invert. I think that Braden, Tara, Ty, Kiefer, in that order, have the highest likelihood of making an appearance to be voted for in the final.
Can you imagine let's assume that Kiefer goes next, which the other three people who remain, look, they should have done it this week, and that they should absolutely be doing it this week. If Kiefer doesn't win a competition, yes, he should be the next person to go.
Gotta go.
I do agree that I think if he can win one of those competitions, his likelihood to win is probably pretty high. But there's a real possibility that Kiefer goes and then Tara flukes out a competition win, and we're looking at a Tara and Braden final. That's a real possibility.
It is. And I'm glad you said that, because everything we say doesn't happen.
I know, right? But if Kiefer's gone and Tara can win something, let's say Ty wins the mental.
Yeah.
The first one. And Tara ekes out one over Braden in the physical / endurance or whatever the heck it is. And then Tara just shocks the world and wins that final HOH, cuts Ty, which is the big move.
Yeah.
Will be the only big move remaining. And then it's Tara and Braden in the end. Like, that's not, or let's go the other way. Braden cuts Ty in the end as like, no, he thought I was being played the whole season, but I was playing him. Then Braden starts to look like a winner. You can kind of set your watch to.
That's the big moment. And that's what we're talking about with the story. I think that if you need to change hearts and minds at the very end, you need a really convincing story that is also shocking.
Yes.
And I think that has all the components of really swaying a jury at the end, if they are going to be able to be swayed at the very last minute. So, I think there are a lot of really compelling scenarios for how even like the people at the bottom of my ranking, the Tara and the Braden, could be a really strong winner here at the end. I mean, again, strong. I don't think anyone has played like a dominant game this season. It has been a messy, fun crapshoot as they have like waffled in power rankings week to week. But that's awesome, because it's going to be a satisfying finish no matter who gets there. Because if they're going to get there, I think they did something really cool to get there if they're going to be able to receive votes. So I think this next vote out, this final four, is the linchpin moment for Kiefer. Yeah. I think if he gets through this, if he can pull out an HOH or a veto win here, I think he might have this unlock. I think he'll do quite well in the finals. He's a big fan. He knows what he needs to be studying for. He should be really well prepared. So I think he needs to get through this, and I'm rooting for it.
Yeah, I ideally, I guess you would like to see one of either Braden or Ty be evicted, just so you eliminate the possibility of a duo going to the end. Like, if you're Kiefer or Tara, basically, one of those two has to be the next person to go, because you don't want to be the third, you know, in the final three. You don't want to be third looking at a very obvious duo going in. Like, I think it's the most disappointing outcome in terms of like carnage or entertainment value is Ty taking Braden or Braden taking Ty. That's a little bit of a deflating finish. Mm-hmm. Just because you've got 50% of the people that remaining are very identifiably aligned. And if the other two just kind of fall by the wayside, it's a little bit of a let the air out of the balloon in terms of entertainment value. So you would like to see one of those two be evicted next, just so it really is a pick 'em with the remaining three. Especially with the way Big Brother Canada does its competitions, it feels like they've been pretty balanced this year, and they'd normally try to balance them as well as they can anyway. So
normal. Like, we've had some really like competitions that anyone could win. We've strayed away from really, really physical stuff towards the end, which I love. This is my favorite kind of Big Brother, where anyone can win at any given time, depending on how much they want it, depending on how prepared they are. And it's super compelling. Look at what it's done for the season. Good casting, good competitions. It creates a lot of chaos in the house and a lot of power shifts, which is what you need for a good Big Brother season.
Exactly. So yeah. I'm excited to see it play out. I'm going to be working both of those days, Wednesday and Thursday. I'm on set, like probably like all day long hour type. So I'm probably going to be watching it on my phone or following along via Twitter. I'm so bummed that I'm not going to be able to watch it along with everybody else in real time from the comfort of my own home. But I'm very excited to see how the season plays out, because it's been unpredictable, to say the least.
Yeah, well, Peter, I just want to say, obviously, as you just said, you will be working next week. We will not be able to podcast together for the finale, but I just want to thank you for podcasting with me all season, talking about Big Brother Canada. This has been so much fun. You were one of my favorite players when I first started watching Big Brother Canada, and we've gotten to podcast together week after week. So that has been a blast for me to hear your insights. So from everybody at Reality NSFW, thank you so much for all season. This has been a blast.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks. I appreciate you having me. It's been really fun going through this bonkers season with you.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been a lot of fun, and we are looking forward to finale week, and we will see you then. But before that, here's a couple words from our sponsors.
When it comes to eating better and consuming less sugar, let's be honest. Most healthy snacks don't taste very good. They don't fill you up, and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. This episode is sponsored by Monk Pack, who make snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with less than 1 gram of sugar.
Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars contain less than 1 gram of sugar, 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, and they're only 150 calories.
They're great for anyone following a keto lifestyle and the perfect snack for anyone who is trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm personally not a keto eater, but I love these nut and seed bars. I try to have one of these always on me for a snack, because I'm usually trying to train for a new running distance I'm trying to hit. I think 2021 is going to be the year for my first full marathon, and I think Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars are going to help me get there, because they're giving me the energy I need and the nutrition I need to make those health goals possible.
Wow. Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars have the perfect balance of sweet and salty, a crunch from whole nuts and seeds, but still manage to be soft and chewy. How do they do it? They come in delicious flavors like sea salt, dark chocolate, pecan almond, and my favorite, no contest, love these so much, game changers, if you will, the peanut butter dark chocolate.
So good. They're perfect for a quick snack to satisfy your sweet tooth without any guilt. Enjoy Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars as a quick breakfast, while running errands, or after a workout.
In addition to being keto-friendly, these bars are gluten-free, plant-based, and non-GMO, so with no soy, trans fat, sugar alcohols, or artificial flavors.
They really taste incredible, and you can't beat the low-sugar nutrition or taste they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door.
Try it for yourself and see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering promo code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer.
So to get started, just go to monkpack.com, that's MUNKPACK.com, and select any product, and then use promo code SURVIVOR, they love it when we do that, at checkout to save 20% off your purchase.
Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious foods you can count on, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast.
Are you ready to enter the wild again? There's a chance no one has seen your balls in a few months. Don't ruin your first post-quarantine date with a ball fro. Would you show up to your first day of school without a haircut?
Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Johnny, how's your grooming been lately?
Oh man, I am sleek, aerodynamic. I'm like that new Tesla. I mean, I got a bunch of 5Ks coming up. I got a bunch of half marathons coming up. Oh man, I'm going to run so fast. There's no friction between Johnny Fairplay, little Johnny Fairplay, and home sweet home.
Oh, that's good news, because Manscaped is here to help everyone else get on that level with their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. It's the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of their ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced while preparing yourself for post-quarantine life. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining.
The perfect Package 3.0 also comes with the Manscaped Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner. Now, the Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant, which ensures that your afternoon stroll doesn't end with your balls sticking to your leg. They call that bat winging. You can eliminate that with a little manscaping, courtesy of the Crop Preserver. But the Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. It's made with the soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts that give your balls a boost. Now, subscribers to the Peak Hygiene Plan get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower 3.0 trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. Don't be using no old razor. Come on. And making sure your trimmer stays fresh and clean.
The light is at the end of the tunnel, fellas. Treat yourself for making it through quarantine with the Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that. And your first date will thank you. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made by people, not patients. Lucy's created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually does taste great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. I'm so excited that Lucy is sponsoring us because one of my best friends in the world, he's trying to quit smoking. His girlfriend's been getting on him for years. He's a big menthol smoker. And the wintergreen flavor is a really nice substitute for him that he absolutely loves. So this is the thing that you need to check out if you've been trying to kick your tobacco habits.
I have a family member that's tried the pomegranate, and they say it's one of the greatest tasting gums they've ever had. We're not talking nicotine gum. We're talking any gum. So if you've been discouraged by other nicotine gums, try the pomegranate. And also for the lozenge, the cherry ice is allegedly the best. And you know what? I believe them. But as far as enjoying anywhere, I heard at the gym, you get a little extra bump from the lozenge and from the gum.
Boom. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, and a subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum and lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.co. That's right, CO, and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here.
Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.